First Chronicles chapter 15. We looked this morning at going after God again. David realized the importance of the Ark of the Covenant. It had been 20 years since they had inquired of the Ark, as he said. 20 years without God's presence, 20 years without God's movement, 20 years without really the full assistance of God. And he finally got tired and weary of the situation like it was. And there were some people behind him that said, "Let's go get the Ark. Let's go see if we can find God. Let's go after God one more time." And when they came, as you remember, and brought the Ark, he put it on a cart to begin with. And we mentioned this morning that David's desire is good. He had a good desire. It's a good desire to want God. It's a desire we should all have. It ought to burn in our heart to have a desire for God and a hunger for Him and recognize without Him we are hopeless. Without Him we have no hope. But even though David's desire is good, we saw that his disappointment is great. They tried to bring the cart in to the place using the Philistines' way of transportation on the cart. They tried to get God through the world's way, and it didn't work. And Uzzah died, and God cursed them. And they put the ark in Abinadab's house for 3 months. But I'm so glad that David did not give up. He could have easily said, "Well, we tried. We had the revival and nothing happened. We had the meeting and nothing happened. I prayed and nothing has happened." He didn't give up. So we saw that not only David's desire is good and his disappointment is great, but David's decision is godly. He decided, even though it didn't work the first time, even though it has not yet, listen, even though it has not yet happened, let's go back after God again. And we found out that he went back and did it God's way. And they came in with rejoicing and praising. And the Ark of the Covenant was back. And we found out also that his delight is glorious. He comes rejoicing. No wonder God was back. No wonder the presence of God was back in the house and in the city and the families. But I thought about this. Let's begin reading in verse 26. 1 Chronicles 15. "And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. And all the Levites that bear the ark, and of the singers, and of Chenaniah, the master of the song with the singers. David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with the sound of the cornet, and with trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David," notice this, "that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and despised him in her heart." This was David's wife. I could get real mean and said the buzzard should have known better to marry her anyway, but I guess that's a different message. but thought about. I mentioned it briefly this morning, but I thought about the opposition. That there's an opposition. That there's obstacles in this thing of getting God. You wouldn't think that there would be, would you? Now, I understand the world. And I understand lost people not caring if God's around. But those who name the name of the Lord, those who profess to know the Lord, it looks as though every one of them would be thrilled. It looks as though they would be lining up and say, include me. Put my name on the line. Get God a new, fresh touch from heaven. Yes, yes, yes. I long for that. I also need that. But we find opposition. We find obstacles. And I want to say tonight, if you go after God, there's going to be some opposition. It will not be easy. It will not be smooth. It probably will not be quick. Sometimes it is, thank the Lord. But my point is this. If we go after God, we just as well expect some trouble. We just as well expect a battle. If you notice in verse 29, once again, it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. You know what? I don't think David was surprised. I do not think it shocked him when she got mad at him for enjoying the presence of God. I believe he knew her enough by now to where he expected it. I mean, that was his wife. He knew her well enough to know that her desire was not for God. She had no hunger and thirst for the things of God. And when he devoted himself to bringing the ark back, he knew right off, even my wife is going to be against this. Hey, if you go after God, there's going to be some opposition. There's going to be some people who don't like it. Could we say first, his family is objecting. His family is objecting. The one who should have been behind him. The one who should have said, David, I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad to be your wife. You've got a heart toward God. You're willing to do what God says. You're willing to set aside your own desire and your own interest and go after God. David, I'm behind you. Oh, I'm with you. I'm praying for you. Go ahead. Go after God. I'm right behind you. But instead, she's making fun. Instead, she despises him and says, look at the king. What a show. What a demonstration. He ought to be ashamed of himself. Sometimes that opposes you when you go after God will be those that are closest to you. It may be your own family member who objects to you going after God. So you got to get it settled now. Even if it's that one that's closest to me who objects, I still must have God. Oh, I need him so desperately. Our church needs him so much. Oh, we need God in our day. We need his touch. We need that ark. It represents his presence. It represents his power. It represents God moving in our day among his people. Oh, if there's ever a time we need him, David would have said, it's now. We've gone 20 years without him. We can't go another day. And even if it makes Michael mad, even if my family doesn't understand, I must go get God. I must find him. I need to help. His family is objecting. Will you notice? She's inside looking out the window. Well, I got a question. Why in the world isn't she out there with them trying to find God too? Why is she in the house? Why has she shut herself up? Why has she excluded herself from that crowd that says, we must have God? I want to tell you, that tribe is still alive. There's still some Michaels, and they're not all female. There are some who will be glad to look out the window and ridicule you when you go after God. There are some who will say, why have you been so fanatical? You've gone off the deep end. Why don't you just settle down just a little bit? I want to tell you, go after God anyway. The price is too high. The day is too late. We cannot go another year. We cannot go another 6 months. We need God now. And even if those who you should care for and should care for you the most, your dearest family member, oppose you, still go after God. His family is objecting. Michael says, what a show. Good gracious. He ought to be ashamed of himself. Could have thrown this in. Since the Bible does, I think it's okay for me to. In 2 Samuel 6:23, here's the result of Michael's attitude. Therefore, Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. Just in case there's any Michaels here. Just in case there's some who drag others down instead of going after God. Just in case there's somebody who could not care less for God. Just in case there's some who say we'll go overboard screaming so loud and begging so hard and praying so much and talking about revival and the touch of God and His presence so much. Just in case there's a Michael here, I got news for you. You're asking for God's curse on your life. It's serious. It's serious for those who want God. It's serious for those who don't want God. His family is objecting. I'll read this verse. 2 Samuel. This tells us a little bit better the way I want to explain it. You don't have to turn if you'll listen. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 21 and verse 22. And David said unto Michael, she's already running through the ringer. She's already said, boy, you sure showed yourself today. The king acting like you did. You should have been ashamed. You should restrain yourself. Why are you acting that way? And here's his response to her. And David said unto Michael, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will play before the Lord, and I will yet more be vile than thus. And it will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of, and of them shall I be had in honor. You know what he's saying? He didn't do this in arrogance. He didn't do this in a hostile manner. I believe his heart was broken. I believe his heart was broken that his own wife would not go with him. That his own family did not have the burden he had. And she said, you showed yourself, David. You're supposed to be the king, and you act like an idiot out there. And David's response was, oh, God, put me where he put me. And I want to just tell you, if God will help me, next time I'll show myself even more. Next time I'll shout louder. Next time God moves, I'll show myself more than I did the last time. But the way he words it is very important. He talks about being vile to his own self. He talks about being base to his own self. Do you know what David's saying? David's saying, you don't like it, Michael. Get in line. My flesh didn't like it either. My flesh didn't want me to do that. Amen. My flesh didn't like me shouting. Amen. But I couldn't help it. My flesh said, don't do it. But my spirit said, do it. Not only was his family opposed. Listen. His family was objecting. But his flesh is opposing. You ever been in a place where God moved? You ever been in a place where you got the can't help it? And when you finally came to yourself, you thought, uh-oh, what'd I do? And the devil in the flesh would say, boy, you made a dummy out of yourself. But more important than that for my message, when God begins to move on us and trouble our heart and speak to us and say, oh, I want you to go with me. I want you to sell out for me. I want you to give your all for me. I have so many good things for you. I have my blessings. I have my power. I have answered prayer just waiting for you. But you must want me. You must seek after me. Boy, when he moves on you like that, the first thing you hear is your flesh saying, no. Your flesh will oppose the move of God. And that's one of the reasons why we experience so little of God's touch. We listen to the flesh instead of the spirit. Hey, your flesh rather be at home in a recliner. If you doubt that, ask some of those if that's where they're at. Flesh would a lot rather make a trip to Walmart than the church house. Flesh says no to the Spirit of God. Flesh resists. Flesh opposes. Flesh is opposite. And if you go after God, you will have to deal with the obstacle of the flesh. Ain't going to be easy. The flesh will control us as long as we let it. For 20 years, Israel had gone without the touch of God. For 20 years, the ark had been hidden away in Obed-Edom's house. And flesh will drag us along, satisfied and content, as long as we let it. Flesh is like a blind man that's satisfied with not being able to see. Flesh is like a sick person who has a cure but cares nothing about going after it. Flesh cares nothing about the things of God. Flesh wants to be left alone. Flesh says, do not disturb me. Leave me in my slumber. Leave me alone. I'm happy as I am. Flesh says no to the things of God. And if you seek after God and go after Him, flesh will say, don't. If you go after God, you'll have to overcome that. You'll have to deal with that opposition. His family is objecting. His flesh is opposed. But in 1 Chronicles 15, verse 26, read something. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. Oh, thank the Lord. Hear what it says. And it came to pass when God helped. Amen. You know what they really needed the whole time? You want to know what Israel needed? And David needed and Michael needed. And you know what we need? Help from God. You want to know why they had not had that help for 20 years? Remember what I said this morning? They had opposed God. They had forgotten God. They had rejected God. They had ignored the Spirit, ignored the ark, took it lightly, thought of it as a good luck charm, and they just thought we can let it go as it is and forget it, and they paid the price of God saying, okay, you don't want me? See how you do without me. And for 20 years, they had walked alone. For 20 years, they had experienced none of the presence of God, none of His touch, did not hear His voice in a real way. But now, something has happened, and God is helping them. Oh, there was the opposition that David had to face. It was the opposition of his family. His family was objecting. There was the opposition of his flesh. His flesh is opposed. But more important than either one of them, there was another obstacle. That obstacle was God. God had said, "You want me? You'll come after me my way." And until they were willing to go through that obstacle and deal with that, they could not have God's best. His family is objecting. His flesh is opposed. His father is offended. They had offended God. They had pushed Him aside. They had said, "No, thank you. Let us live our lives." And for them to get the touch of God back, they had to go to God and say, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're paying for our decision. We're paying for what we've done. We have rejected you. We have ignored you. We have neglected you. And we're paying the consequences. Oh God, we're sorry." And if you go after God and find Him, you'll have to deal with that obstacle. If you've offended God, there's only one way to deal with it. Confession. The blood. Hit me in. Thank the Lord. Amen. But if you do, you'll find a Father waiting to forgive. You'll find a God who's been waiting for you all the time. You'll find somebody who's ready to forgive, ready to empower, ready to come visit. They found out God wanted to forgive them more than they wanted to be forgiven. Amen. They found out God wanted to bless them more than they wanted to be blessed. They found out that the God of power wanted to demonstrate that power more than they wanted to see it. They found a God waiting. They found a God willing. They found a God able. And when they went after Him, His way, here He came. First Chronicles 16:7. After the ark came, after they rejoiced, after they met the requirements I mentioned this morning, after God came in and blessed, it was more than just a temporary thing. If you read these verses, you'll find out their lifestyle changed. Their lives changed. It wasn't just some temporary tinkle. What am I trying to say? It ain't that, I promise you. Tickle, thank you, tickle. I will edit that off the CD, I promise you. Thank the Lord for audacity that you can take those words out. It wasn't just a little tingle. But what God did changed their lives. Listen. Verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. You know what happened? David was led by the Lord to write a psalm about that experience. We can go to the Bible right now, thousands of years later, and sing that song. You know what we're doing? You know what they were doing? They were saying this, look at what God did. Look at what God did. When He came in with the ark, when they came and brought the ark, and the demonstration and power of God was so real, they thought, look at what God has done. And thousands of years later, we look back at that point and say, look what God did. I got some of those high water memories of my life. Times when God did something unexplainable for me. One of the churches where I've been. And I think back and I say, look, oh, think about what God did. Hey, but we have a God not of yesterday. We have a God of today. And wouldn't it be wonderful? Listen, you got to get this. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God did something this week in our hearts to where whenever down the road of our lives we look back and say, remember what God did then? Remember that revival in April? Remember what God did? Oh, what a blessing that was. Oh, God can. Folks, we need God. And He knows we do. And who knows? It may be tonight. It may be this week that we bring the ark in. And our lives are turned upside down for the glory of God. And His presence and power is demonstrated among His people once again. All for His power. All for His presence. All to have His help in the problems we're facing. That's what I'm talking about. That's the God we have. That's the God who says, I'm waiting. Will somebody come get me? Let's stand together. Mindy, you'll come play. If you're here this evening and you just sense in your heart, our folks have heard this morning, but I'll say it again, just the need for a fresh touch from heaven. Boy, our world needs it. We're in a mess. Our churches need it. We're in a mess. We as Christians need it. We're in a mess. What's going on inside the church house these days is a disgrace in the face of a holy God. We need help. And God says, if you'll come after me my way, you'll find me. Maybe there's somebody here lost tonight. I beg you to come. Someone saved, you just need to say, Lord, I want you. I need you. Oh, God, help me. Show me what I need to do to get you touch. Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you. God, touch us. Please speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. She plays, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need to come, please mind the Lord. Please mind the Lord. I know our folks heard the same type of message this morning, but listen. My point tonight has been this, to not let the opposition defeat you. Not let the battles stop you. Expect it. Do not be surprised when it happens. Expect it. Look for it. Ask God to prepare you for it. Don't let it stop you. Keep seeking after God. Keep going after Him. Keep praying. Keep right. Keep in touch. Please listen to the Lord. Please mind Him tonight. If there's somebody here lost, please come. Get it settled tonight. Someone you're not sure about your salvation, will you get it settled tonight? Will you please come? Please mind the Lord.